listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there. And you know, I love this show and I love being here with you today. And I'll tell you why. My life is so joyful. And today is, as close as we're going to get since I'm on Tuesday here on this beautiful channel to Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving week. And I want to talk about gratitude. So I'm streaming to a couple of my social platforms as well. And here's the deal. What is this thing about gratitude? Like, we're living in a world right now where there's wars. I just saw on television there's a possible negotiated hostage deal for, I think, 50 of those hostages. You know what? There are struggles, terrifying things, sadness, and all kinds of problems that are floating around and maybe invading your life even. And so you might be thinking, how dare you, Kellen, talk about gratitude, and certainly not gratitude in every circumstance. Well, love is the most powerful emotion. It's the force that holds the universe together. But I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about something that's right up there with it. I think of gratitude maybe as the master emotion, or maybe right behind love. And I'll tell you why. You can't be angry when you're experiencing gratitude. You can't be jealous when you're experiencing true gratitude. You can't be in fear when you're experiencing gratitude. It just can't happen. So I want to talk a little bit about neurochemistry for a minute, and that might be a little heady, but let's do it anyway. Whenever you feel something, you're experiencing a feeling, you know, it shows up in your body. Fear might show up in your throat. It gets tight, or your stomach gets, you know, churning, or your shoulders get tight or something. And anger is another one that might show up in a certain place. But, you know, as soon as you start feeling these physical sensations that you're experiencing an emotion, and the emotion, you know, depending on how powerful the input was, the emotion may be really strong. So what causes those feelings? Feelings in our body are the result of chemistry, neurochemical transmitters, right? We know some of them, oxytocin, cortisol, adrenaline, norepinephrine, and, you know, the whole host of them. And when we have any kind of feeling, sensation in our body, it's because of those chemicals in our bloodstream. So why the science lesson on a show about your ultimate life? Well, here's the deal. What if it was possible? Just go with me here. What if it was possible to have the experience of gratitude all the time? Now, I'm not talking about some gratitude rant. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I don't find it very effective. I heard from someone a number of years ago a gratitude practice that they called a rampage of appreciation, in which you listed as fast as you could 50 or 100 things that you're grateful for. And it could even be things like, you know, I'm grateful I don't have a hangnail. I'm grateful the sun's shining. I'm grateful anything and everything you could think of. There's nothing wrong with that. But I've discovered a practice that's more powerful, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And it's connected to that neurotransmitter stuff. Many years ago, when I was working in Phoenix, I worked shift work. So daytime, I worked days for a week, and then afternoons for a week, graveyards for a week, and then started over again. And then, you know, the days off varied and all that stuff. One night I worked swing shift, and I was on my way home, and I had a little sports car. It wasn't very big, but it was fun to drive. And so it was 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. I'd gotten off, you know, I worked 3 to 11. And so probably it was 11:30 driving home, and I was driving on the freeway. I was driving probably a little too fast, you know, maybe 75 or 80. And I was coming on a banked curve on this freeway. It was an overpass, and there were two or three layers of freeway under me. And it was the highest of the overpasses. You know how those are. And then underneath, way down, two or three layers down, was the ground, the surface streets. Anyway, as I came around this banked curve, and it was dark, and there weren't a lot of lights on the freeway, I saw in the left, just off the left lane, a car parked. Now, on an overpass like that, you know, they have those white lines that's a little ways in from the actual concrete end of the overpass, but the area is certainly not large enough to have a car in there. So the car was over probably about as far as it could get, but it was still hanging at least half and maybe two-thirds into the left lane. Well, I was in the left lane. I was driving fast. There weren't a lot of other cars up there, so I was excited. I was getting home, and I was ripping it up. That car just showed up out of nowhere, and instinctively, without even having a millionth of a second to think about it, I ripped the steering wheel over to the right and then back, vroom, vroom, to cause a sort of chicane thing around it, and I missed the car. Now, that all happened so fast that my body didn't have time to react from an emotional point of view. In other words, I couldn't feel anything at that moment. After I passed the car and went on down off the overpass and down into the freeway that was continuing, boy, those emotions hit me hard. At first, it was just absolute terror. Delayed reaction, right? Terror. Because at that speed, and I would have probably been dead. And I don't think anybody was in the car. I didn't see anyone or lights on or the door open or anything. But anyway, that would have been the end. So I was experiencing terror, and the flood of emotion was so powerful that I had to pull off the road. So the freeway had gone down to the ground, and I was under an underpass where surface streets were now passing over. I went over and I pulled off to the right, and I just had to be there for a few minutes and breathe. After the fear happened, and fear is also a combination of neurotransmitters, right? Then another cascading flood of emotion poured over me, and that was gratitude. I was overwhelmed with this feeling of gratitude that I had been blessed to react instinctively without even having any time to think, with motions of the steering wheel to get out, go around the car. I was grateful that the car I was driving could handle that movement without flipping, and so forth. And so the point of the story is, it was an overwhelming cascade of gratitude. And in that moment, I experienced visceral, to the core, soul level, little pinky shaking, toe shaking gratitude. Relief, but gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. And so I've thought about that a lot. And thought, what a profound effect that cascade of emotions had on me in gratitude. And so what I wondered, and that was many years before I began my personal development work. I was probably 27 or something at the time. So that was 40 years ago, I guess, because I'm 67 now. So 40 years ago, but that memory is etched on my brain like fire. In terms of not the harrowingness, the fear cascade isn't etched there. The gratitude cascade is, cascade of emotion neurotransmitters. So as I began my personal development journey 16 years ago in 2007, after I walked away from the career of 30 years, I began to explore gratitude. I began to read a lot about it, study it, and that's why I was having the conversation with someone about this rampage of appreciation and different ways to explore and experience gratitude. Now, there's lots of books about gratitude, and there's lots of gratitude journals and, stuff about it. But here's what I know. I know the things that I said earlier. When you are experiencing that cascade of gratitude, there's not room for anything else. There's not room for fear. There's not room for anger. There's not room for jealousy. There's not room for envy. There is room for the companion emotion of compassion, love, those kinds of things that are way up on the high end of our emotional ladder. Now, if you think about an emotional ladder, way the bottom rungs are fear is the rung just above death. Fear is the lowest emotion. And then, abject terror, horrifying fear, and gradually gets less, and anger's down there somewhere, and hatred's down there, in between anger and fear. You know what's down there, and those can kind of coexist. But when you move up the ladder to more positive emotions, They can't coexist, but love and gratitude can coexist. And so what that tells me is the chemistry associated with the positive emotions is similar to the chemistry of each other. In other words, the chemistry in the body of love, of gratitude, of creativity, of compassion, they have similar elements. And so they feel like they can coexist. So that's all an interesting anatomy lesson. But in this week of Thanksgiving, I wanted to talk about what I've discovered. That cascade of emotion that happened to me there on that dark night at 11:30 p.m. that saved my life was remarkable. It lasted for a long time. And neurotransmitters have a shelf life. You know, that's why they say count to 10 if you're angry. It gives your body a chance to process the chemistry of the emotion. Well, that cascade of gratitude was so powerful that it lasted for quite a bit of time that night. And on top of that, every time I thought about what had happened, it came back in some degree. In other words, the memory of it and how blessed I was and how grateful I was to not be dead and to have missed that and to have been able to just go on with my life after parking on the under the overpass to catch my breath and get reoriented, I could recreate that sense of well-being, love, gratitude, creativity, compassion, but principally gratitude just by thinking about that event. Now, what I know then is we can create neurochemistry or feelings in our body at will. Now, think about that. That's a bold claim. You can create the feeling of anger. You can create the feeling of hatred. You can create the feeling of jealousy. You can create the feeling of envy. You can create the feeling of, on the other end, creativity, compassion, sharing, love, service, and, of course, gratitude. Wow. What a concept. If I can create, because I know, and you know this too, when you're in a state experiencing love, you act differently. You think differently. You create differently. You relate to others differently. You show up in life way differently. So when you're thinking about how to change your circumstance, and that means change it in any way, because I'm a coach, you know that. And so my whole life is talking to people, exploring their emotions, exploring what they're creating for themselves with these cascades of emotions. Now, the external circumstance, like missing that car, created, you know, I believed that I would have died, and I was grateful to be alive, and I believed furiously that I would have died and that I was super glad to be alive. Believing that thing, if I didn't think it was dangerous, right, it wouldn't create the cascade of emotion. But the knowledge that it was true, the belief essentially, but knowledge that it was true, I just barely missed that car. And it's a good thing I didn't have my elbow out of the window like I might have on a night in Phoenix, right? It never gets very cold. I probably would have ripped my elbow off and the mirror of the other car, but I didn't have it out the window, and I'm grateful for that. So what we are those cascades of emotions come from what we think and believe. If I have a thought and I don't believe it, it doesn't create the cascade. Think about it. If I see an image of a tiger, but I don't believe it's real and it proposes any danger to me, I don't experience fear. On the other hand, if I look at something, an animal, tiger in this case, and I believe that I'm actually in danger, I believe that, the cascade of emotion comes. So that means our thinking and believing is what creates that set of emotions. Well, that's so appropriate here on Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. If you want to have a fabulous Thanksgiving, then let's talk about on purpose, intentionally, in a focused way, creating gratitude. Wow. Think about it. You can create that cascade of emotion, which feels so good. It's so elevating. It's so powerful. The feeling of love and creativity and compassion. And yes, today we're talking about gratitude. And so I'll tell you how I've learned to do that. And this is a really important thing. And that's why I said that the rampage of appreciation activity or similar things don't create for me that powerful sense of gratitude. So here's what I do. And I'll offer this to you as a suggestion and an exercise for you to do. And then I'm going to offer a framework about how to make it operative in your life all the time. If I want to experience that feeling of gratitude, if I say, wow, I love it the way I feel when I'm just supremely in gratitude, here's what I do. I go to the mirror and I look in my own eyes. There's something about connecting to the truth of our own soul that helps this process and especially increases the power of the process. So I look in my own soul and I think about something that I'm profoundly grateful for, something that really, not just a list of fast things and not silly things like that I don't have an ingrown toenail, one that works for me. There's several that work and I'll share them with you. I am grateful for my beloved, holy angel wife, Joy. And the gratitude for her is so profound that when I think about it slowly and I massage the memories that make me grateful, my mind begins to produce those neurotransmitters. And if I wait and continue exploring that, the memories, the feelings come. And then I can create that beautiful, luscious, tasty, elevating sense of gratitude that permeates my body. It's not just in my mind. It goes through my throat and into my stomach and back up and down again. And it feels like your heart, my heart swells. All of that can happen. And it leaves me in an elevated state. And by elevated, I mean more creative. I mean, problems look smaller. I mean, challenges that are coming my way seem more manageable. It puts me in a state that during the day, when things happen that I didn't expect or perhaps didn't want, they don't bother me. They don't seem like a big deal. They seem like, yeah, I can handle that. Whereas if I don't do that kind of preparation, I feel in the corner behind the eight ball. Oh, I don't know what to do, at a loss. So it is, the message so far is you can create gratitude. You can create it viscerally and powerfully in your body until you are overwhelmed with that elevating and luscious feeling of gratitude. So why would you want to do that? Excuse me. Well, I can think of at least three reasons, and there's probably a lot more. The first reason is I like how it feels. It's just so good. I mean, I've been in a place where I felt fear, loathing, anger at myself, depression, suicidal, you know, all kinds of negative feelings. We all know what those feel like, how depressing and how they press down on us and they're oppressive. When I feel gratitude, true, deep, profound gratitude for something, I feel elevated. I feel like I'm swelling. I'm growing. I feel like there's opportunities around every corner, all that kind of stuff. So number one, it just flipping feels good. It feels good. And I like having that state. Number two, I'm more creative. And that's true of all those positive emotions, compassion, love, and so forth, but particularly gratitude. When I experience that just overwhelming feeling of gratitude, ideas come in quick succession. What are they about? Ideas about how to share this feeling. Something about those positive feelings makes us as humans want to hug each other, want to share, want to do good, want to be good. Right? Abraham Lincoln said, when I do good, I feel good. When I do bad, I feel bad. And that's simple, but it's so profoundly true. So the companion thought is, when I'm feeling gratitude, I want to share. I want to love. I want to find someone to help. I want to be of service. Isn't that interesting? Because when we are in service to each other, it releases another powerful neurotransmitter, oxytocin. That oxytocin is the neurotransmitter that creates the feeling of community, of connectedness. There's an exercise that you can try, and it almost always works, and that is the hug. And we hug each other. You know, maybe you're a hugger, maybe you're not. I am. If you hug someone, there's an initial phase of contact, okay? And there may be a little awkwardness or not. If you keep the hug longer and longer and longer, the body reacts. There is a relaxation. There is an invitation to emotional closeness. I'm not talking about sexual stimulation or that kind of attraction. I'm just talking about human depth of connection here. So if you hug someone, wait. And it needs to be someone that doesn't, you know, feel uncomfortable with this. What I've heard and experienced is 8 seconds. And that might seem like an eternity to give somebody a hug. But if you hug someone for 8 seconds, that neurotransmitter shows up and there is a melting, a feeling of deeper and deeper connection and love and kindness and empathy and compassion that all flows from that neurotransmitter cocktail. Well, gratitude is the same. The more you think about and live into the memories and thoughts of things for which you are truly grateful, the better you feel. Your body produces those feel-good neurotransmitters, and the companion for that is then you want to help. You want to serve. You want to love. You want to give. You want to be in service, because that also creates those powerful neurotransmitters. Now, this, and that's the second reason. One, it feels good. Two, it causes you to be more creative. This is where I started. It also has all that companion stuff. More creative means you think of better ways to treat people, better ways to treat yourself. And that always is accompanied with a desire to do it. So it isn't just, well, I could do this, but yeah, I don't want to. No, it is accompanied with a propulsion to take action, action for the positive, action for good. The third reason, so number one, it feels good. Number two, it makes you more creative and powerful. And number three, it makes people want to be around you because it gives off an energy of positivity. Gratitude, compassion, love, even if you're not saying anything, it radiates from us. It's a very attractive force. So there's all kinds of practical applications for this, and we'll talk about some of them. If you're more pleasant to be around, how do you think that affects your relationships? Well, your significant other will certainly want to be more around you. Your kids, if you have some, will want to be around you more. Your business associates can feel that. They'll want to be around you more because of that attractive and positive energy. What do you think it does for your sales or for your service or for your networking? It's a powerful attractant. Gratitude is a very attractive cloak to wear. And here's the fun thing. It can't be faked. Hear that. You cannot be faked. Okay? You can say, it's like people when they smile, right? You can see when they're smiling and the energy of truth is in the wrinkles of the eyes. When you smile in a real way, when you're really happy, it does different things to your facial muscles. Now that, you know, you can practice and fake that if you want to, but gratitude and other positive emotions can't be faked. And here's why. It's really simple. You can't fool yourself. Those neurotransmitters, the things that produce that energetic attraction, aren't produced until you believe what you're thinking. If you think about something and you don't believe it, the brain doesn't cause the production of those neurotransmitters. So in other words, fake things are fake and they don't produce real emotion and the real energy around that emotion. That's even true in acting. You think actors, they don't fake it. They do the things I'm talking about to create the emotion and therefore the neurotransmitters associated with it, which allows us in the audience to genuinely participate in the emotion. So it's simply, you can't fake those things because the energy of gratitude is real and it's tangible and you can feel it. So think about, number one, it feels good. Number two, you're more creative, more powerful, you know, more. And three, you're more fun to be around. So how will that affect you? Well, let me tell you how it's affected me. And I'm not going to pretend to tell you because I'm not talking to you in person. Although if we were, I'd love to do that. And I invite you. I invite you really sincerely to connect and let's have a conversation. I would love to get to know you. I am grateful for the opportunity to talk to you. Sincerely and truthfully grateful. I have this URL on the screen, yourultimatelife.ca, because part of my mission, my personal life mission that I work on every single day without exception, is to help people end the negativity in their lives, end the barriers, end the self-doubt, end those fears, end the self-sabotage, and create what I call the ultimate life, which is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And that's all that I'm about, really. And yes, I have a coaching business, but it all comes from that pursuit of helping people create purpose, prosperity, and joy in their lives. And that would include you. So what are the benefits of that energy associated with gratitude? Well, we talked about it feeling good. We talked about being more creative, and we talked about people wanting to be around you. Let's talk about it in a practical way. I had a coaching, two coaching groups yesterday. I run some coaching groups, all called Your Ultimate Life, Ultimate Life Transformation Experience. And the groups are filled with people who want to make positive change, who are intentionally focused on, who do I need to be to have more happiness? Who do I need to be to create more success? And yeah, that translates into more sales and more money and taking care of myself better. Who do I need to love myself enough to care for my body, my heart, my soul, my spirit, my emotions? Who do I need to be a more effective parent or more effective romantic partner, more loving, more kind? Who do I need to be more connected and effective at work or in my entrepreneurial journey or in my job? All those things are related to this energy. So, excuse me. The first thing it helps you is if you choose to carry the positive energy of gratitude, because people will want to be around you, they'll want to be around you more, it will make you more effective at work. You'll be able to create better relationships. You'll be able to repair damaged relationships. Even that grumpy coworker or that unkind boss that you have a story about right now, those relationships can all be repaired and not just repaired, elevated to a level of not just, you know, barely getting by, tolerance to some cooperation, but really cooperative unity. You can do that. And I've seen it done. I've helped people do it. And do you know what the starting point is? 100% of the time. The starting point isn't, well, I wish that jerkwad would do this. And if they would just quit doing that. The starting point is never out there. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And you know why? You can't control that. So how can we start with that? Right? And if we say, well, it'll never work until they quit being a jerk, you're done. You've handed your power away. So that's a different episode, a different conversation about handing away your power. The truth is you can start right now. So here's a fun challenge we'll do here in the middle of the show, and that is this. I challenge you to do the exercise that I just talked about. Go in front of the mirror, look deeply into your own soul, and just hold your own gaze for maybe 60 seconds. If you're not used to doing this, this might feel like an eternity. And here are some ways to get to that place where your body is experiencing profound and deep gratitude. One way is to think about yourself. Think about the things that you are doing or have done that you really loved, that were good, that were kind, that were uplifting, where you intentionally created positive results for someone or some group of people, and how grateful you are for being the person that did that thing. And maybe you regularly do that. So think of a cascade of things that you have done and focus on how grateful you are that you are the person that thought of and did that stuff. What a good person you're being. Not so someone can pin a medal on your chest or wave a banner over your house or something, but because that's just who you are. Gratitude for your own choices, your own good choices. And we all have bad choices and we can all harp on those, but right here, the exercise is to create that feeling of gratitude. So that's one way. Another way that way used to never work for me at all. It does now, but it used to never work. And the reason is because I lived in a place of self-loathing. I was just all in to hate myself. I was all in to point out all the negative things, the problems, the mistakes, the errors, the unkindness, on and on and on. So trying to think about positive things that I'd done was anathema. Never happened, never would. Not true anymore, but it was. So another way to do it, if thinking about things that you are doing and have done by choice to bless the lives of others and how grateful you are that you choose to do that. Another way to think about it that did work for me was how grateful I was to the divine, to the creator, to God. Now, we all have things where we have a client who talks about having arguments with God and questioning why this and why that. I have done that. I've done that, shaking my fist at the sky and wondered what was going on and haven't I had enough and on and on and on. I've done all that. You probably have too. That doesn't work for creating the feeling of gratitude either. But what does work is on purpose, dwelling on, massaging, chewing, thinking about the blessings. I gave you an example. I didn't get in that terrifying wreck. I was driving too fast. It was too dark, et cetera, and I was saved and just insanely grateful. I am grateful for, I have a number of health things that have happened just in the last 5 or 6 years. Most of my life, I was extremely healthy and had, yeah, you could think of it as a, I didn't take care of it, but an invincible body. And I was thinking about how grateful I am for that. And thinking about in the last 5 or 6 years when I've had some really serious health challenges, up to and including dying in 2018. So that serious, you know, I had a near-death experience and, you know, had the opportunity to make a choice to come back. And I did. And here we are. The gratitude associated with that is crazy. I lived a really difficult and complex life with lots of mistakes and things until I changed everything in 2007. So another piece of gratitude that's huge and visceral and real for me, even though it's 16 years ago, was the event, the set of events that happened in August and September of 2007 that offered me the invitation to completely change my life, to go in a new direction, start over, to walk away from everything I'd done before that was wrong and mistakes and selfish and addictions and all kinds of stuff and just start over. And I did. And the level of gratitude that I feel for that divine intervention is infinite. I can't even begin to articulate it. So another approach is to think about the blessings and opportunities that you have from the divine. Another approach, a third one, is to think about other people in your life who have been there for you, who have offered love, kindness, understanding, listening, and have been the lifeline of hope for you. Now, I lived 35 years from age 17 to 52 in profound MDD, major depressive disorder, bipolar, you know, where I was just out of control, untreated, didn't, et cetera, et cetera. Looking back, you know, lots of terrible mistakes. But even so, occasionally there was someone, sometimes, who reached out with a lifeline, who said something, who, where I could talk, where I could feel heard for even just a moment. Remembering those times, because it was those tiny incidents that kept me alive, literally, because I attempted suicide twice, until 2007, when the great divine intervention occurred that, you know, it was a big slap upside the head. So thinking about those times and those people is a place where I am profoundly grateful, because without them, who knows what would have happened? Who knows? So thinking about the behavior of others and the things that they have done. Now, we all have people that have failed us. Most of my 35 years from 17 to 52 is full of abandonment, full of recrimination, full of being disowned by the family, full of being taken off the Christmas card list and disinvited to everything because I was a, you know, failure and a loss and had all kinds of problems. And the problems were real, but I got no help most of the time. So we all have that, and that won't create the feeling of gratitude. That creates the feeling of anger, retribution, the need for forgiveness. We're not talking about that. So focus on purpose on the positive things, even if that same person did other negative things. Because what I'm doing here is we're looking for ways to create that feeling of gratitude. So you have thinking about your own choices and things that are good, thinking about the relationship you have with the divine and the number of times you've been blessed, thinking about other people that offered you a lifeline or a listening ear that was needed at a particular time. Another one is to think about the possibilities in front of you. This is one that is also a choice. It's one that today provides me with maybe the greatest source. If I want to feel the cascade of gratitude, if I want to be just bowled over by that wonderful, chewy feeling of just being grateful, all I have to do is think about you. Think about the people I get to talk to and encourage. Think about the people I get to love. In my coaching business, and people do their coaching all kinds of different ways, I start from a premise of believing unconditionally in your opportunity and your divine nature. You are a divine being. You have infinite possibility, infinite capability. I know that, I believe it, and I start there. Every conversation, every time, client, not client, I start there. And because I do, that is a contagious feeling. So people I talk to feel believed in, they feel heard, they feel uplifted, they feel edified. And guess what? That creates the opportunity for relationship. So when I can continue doing that, as long as I draw breath, I get the glorious opportunity every single day to do things like this. And I've got 3 podcast appearances I'm doing this week on other people's shows. And you know what that's about? It's to talk about them. It's to talk about their audience's possibility and glory and beauty and power. It's not to sell my stuff. I don't do that. My business plan's really simple. I never look for clients. I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. And I mean that in absolute sincerity. And so I get to live in a place of complete gratitude for every person that I talk to. Everyone, without exception. And you know what that does? Moves me right into that place of just exploding happiness and gratitude and creativity and attractiveness. And so people say, you know, I love talking to you. I want to come back and do it more. Well, yeah, that easily could lead to a client relationship if what they want to do is something I can help with. And, you know, if. But I never start there and I don't even worry about it. And that means I get to live in that elevated emotional place. Now, I've been using me as examples, but what I know for sure is that this kind of choice is available to you. I started as far away from this state of perpetual gratitude as I could possibly imagine. Hating, loathing myself, attempting suicide, blaming others, thinking it was too late. I was an absolute failure. I needed to be gone, dead, finished. and have been able, by just doing the things, I got good coaches and good help and so forth, but the key principles, or one of them, is to focus on gratitude. Remember, when you're in gratitude, you can't be angry. When you're in real gratitude, you can't be jealous. You can't be bitter. You can't be full of fear. None of those things can coexist. And the reason is simple. The neurotransmitters are completely different. You can't have both of those chemistry or that chemistry. Even in my example, the fear that rushed over me was real and powerful. And neurochemical cocktails take a while to dissipate. But that didn't. And the reason that it didn't is because the overwhelming amount of gratitude that poured in just washed that out. The fear evaporated like in a heartbeat. And I was just overwhelmed with that gratitude. And that was so beautiful because, one, I was still alive, yay. And two, it started me later. Like I said, that was when I was 27. So that would have been in 1980. I don't know, 83 or 84. I would have been 28 or 29, born in 55. But anyway, I didn't put it together and start using that learning until I changed everything about my life after 2007. So that would have been 20 years later or more. Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. Can't do the math in my head watching you. But 25 years later, I finally began to explore the meaning of that. And so I offer you this on Thanksgiving week. Instead of just feasting on turkey, ham, and chicken, or whatever your feast is, instead of just doing that, and that's fine, on purpose, see how many times you can create that real cascade of gratitude to where it's just a delicious, elevating, overwhelming feeling. Here's what I can promise you. If you choose to do that, this week will be completely different than any Thanksgiving you've ever had. You will have an experience that is more memorable, more juicy, more powerful, and more lasting than any other week of Thanksgiving. You will find, as I mentioned, that your creativity goes up. You'll think of all kinds of ways to love and bless those that are in your life or around you or even strangers. You'll be a magnet for people. You'll be brimming with that energy of joy and contentment. Really, this is not made up and it's not pretend, because you can't fake the energy of truth. You know, energy is truth, and real energy of gratitude comes from that neurotransmitter cocktail and the way that it makes us feel. So there's the challenge for you. The challenge is, see how many times this week you can create that experience of deep and profound gratitude. And then see how it affects your life. See how it affects your personal relationships. See how it affects what you think of yourself. See how it affects your partner if you're in an intimate partnership. See how it affects your business. See how it affects your clients. Now, I talked about the benefits of this, and I'm going to go back to that for our last few minutes here. The benefits. If you are in a state of profound gratitude, here's what I know, and here's how I know it. I've seen it and experienced it on a daily basis myself. I've helped many, many clients change who they're being, adopt an attitude of gratitude, a habit of gratitude, a habit of creating that stuff, and then watch their business explode. So here's what I can promise you will happen if you delve deeply into this. You will feel better. You will get up easier and more joyful in the morning. You will feel happy, more happy and joyful all day long. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to feel happy all day? Now for business, no matter what you do, if you work in an office, you'll improve the relationship with your coworkers. You'll improve the relationship with your supervisor. You'll improve the relationship with your stakeholders and customers. Your opportunities for advancement and growth will go up. I know it. I've seen it. It will happen. If you're an entrepreneur and you sell stuff, whatever your entrepreneurial journey is, your prosperity will go up. You will attract more clients. Your ability to close deals will go way up. Why? It's not a mystery. That energy is infectious, it's contagious, and it feels good. People will want to be associated with you. They will want to do business with you. They will want to be part of the glow that accompanies real gratitude, someone who lives in that place. After that, your service to your clients, whatever you sell, like I sell coaching, and that's an ongoing delivery process. It's not one and done, go away, you know, come back when you need more. It's a process, and it's a powerful process. But the relationship I have with my clients is exponentially better when I live on purpose in gratitude. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Like, it isn't that I create something, I force them to do something. We have mirror neurons. We reflect the energy of those around us. So if you constantly make a choice to live in that energy of positive gratitude, you're going to infect everybody fast and powerfully. Well, there's no way, there's no scenario in which that doesn't result in more business. There's no scenario in which that doesn't result in more happiness, both for you and for your clients. So the power of gratitude can't be overstated. I made bold claims and said all kinds of stuff, and I can't say them loudly enough or frequently enough. They are true, they are powerful, and they are available to you. There is no scenario in which you could not choose to pick one of the paths that we talked about to experiencing gratitude. There is simply no scenario. You may not want to. It may not be your habit. You may say, I don't want to do that. It's stupid. Okay. You're free to do that. But there's no scenario in which it's impossible. There's no scenario in which you can't have the benefits that I've just talked about. So one of the joys I have of coaching is helping people realize who they really are. Well, what the heck does that mean? You're a divine being. You were created by the same creator as me and everybody else. We were designed to have joy, to experience hardship and trial, but to let it refine us. We were designed to love and serve each other. We were designed to give and receive gratitude. We were designed to live on the top half of that emotional ladder. And occasionally we dip into the other. But when you live in the realm of anger, negativity, hatred, fear, all that stuff over and over again, it's corrosive. Those neurotransmitters are corrosive. They kill you. They shorten your life. There's a bunch of documented studies about how people that live perpetually angry live many years less on average than people that are perpetually happy. So there's something nourishing about this chemistry and poison about that chemistry down there. So that is your opportunity. Now, to close today, I want to issue you a few invitations. My journey, my mission is to help you live your ultimate life, create all the purpose, prosperity, and joy you want. I have processes, foolproof, powerful processes to help you find and declare a purpose, to own it so powerfully it fires you up every day. Wouldn't that be fun to get up on fire every day with the purpose that you know you're here to do? Purpose, prosperity, and joy. I have processes and tools to help you create prosperity. Yeah, that means prosperity in cash, sales, money, but it also means prosperity in relationship, in how you feel about yourself, in self-love, in your connection with the divine, in your perception of your own worthiness. Because the truth is you're infinitely valuable, whether you believe it or not. The truth is you're infinitely capable with whether you believe it or not. The truth is you can have anything you want, whether you believe it or not. Isn't it time that you set aside the negative beliefs? Isn't it time you set aside the chains of blame and anger and lack of forgiveness toward yourself or others? For me, lack of forgiveness toward me was one of the most difficult things, if not the most. I lived in a place of self-loathing for decades. Reasons are many and varied and not the subject tonight, but learning to forgive others freely and myself has put me, guess where, in a state of profound and joyful gratitude, in a state of endless creativity, in a state of purpose, prosperity, and the third one that I associate with the ultimate life is joy. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that I could live there on purpose, on demand, every day. I'm not magic. It's a process. It's learnable. I learned it, and you can too. If you don't have the purpose in your life you want, the prosperity you deserve, and the joy that is your birthright, why not? What is preventing you from creating that? That's a worthwhile inquiry. Like, it's yours for the taking. So I invite you, the URL's on the screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Go there. There's free stuff. Reach out and connect with me on social. I've got all kinds of books and tools and processes to help you go from wherever you are right now to that place of dream, to that place of vision, to that place of joy that you want. Today, we talked about gratitude because this is Thanksgiving. It's one of the most, absolutely most powerful tools to turn your life into a joyful day-to-day experience, to create all the joy you want and deserve, and therefore move into and enjoy your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.